Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Good day. Here we are. That's
good
pretty
day.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I'm telling you, I just feel a new wind blowing. I could tell because of the hail that hit me in the back of my head last night.
Oh my goodness.
That's H-I-E-E-L.
What's that spell?
Yeah.
It's a mixture between things falling out of the sky and things falling from beneath.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm telling you, God is... I mean, you just can tell. You kind of know that the patterns of what's going on. I like that what Brother Kilpatrick says over, you know, in Church of His Presence, John Kilpatrick Ministries, is in Mobile, Alabama, is you can tell by the size of your blessing, by the size of your attack.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad to say, if you have not gone through anything, it's going to be a small thing happening. But if you've gone through some things like Pat has... It's gonna be big. I mean, have y'all talked about the flood? Have you talked about
what flood?
The flood. What
was there a flood?
Just the personal flood you had.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, I spared them.
I just gotta say.
Oh, is there something that we missed? I mean, I thought we covered everything.
Depends.
Oh.
On what you're talking about.
Depends. Oh, okay.
You gotta clarify that.
Well, it just depends on what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
He is getting older.
He is getting older. I was talking more about the flood, you know.
Oh, me too.
Oh, depends. Oh, okay.
But just think, no. I mean, it just depends.
Oh, depends.
Depends.
I got
but
you.
But thank God for the rainbow.
Thank God
for the rainbow.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, what's this drummer thing?
Oh, my goodness. Listen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. This elderly grandmother walks into
bet she takes offense to that.
Well, hey, she's a grandma, she's a grandma. I don't know. She's,
are you talking about my wife?
No.
mine. She's a grandmother.
Mine is two.
Oh, elderly Teresa.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Pat said it.
Well, depends.
It depends. Grandma walks into a drum store. Nobody knows
a what store?
A drum store?
A drum store.
Drum.
You're back in the South now.
It's like a drum.
Bring it.
Oh,
talk plainly. We can understand.
It's, it's like a drum tournament. It's a tournament.
Okay.
Tournament.
You hear this, Chris?
I hear it.
Southern succotash.
Oh, Southern succotash. Okay. Drum. Remind me to tell you about Southern Hospitality. Bluebell ice cream, by the way.
If you,
about
if
the
you
South,
interrupt
okay?
us, we're going to forget what you're talking about. You were talking about your elderly grandmother?
No, I wasn't. No.
Okay.
I was talking about an elderly grandmother.
Oh, an elderly grandmother.
Now, if you keep inserting around, I'm like, I'll forget what I'm saying.
What are we talking about?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Elderly grandmother walks into a drum
Can't
shop.
Can't you just be a grandmother other than elderly?
Oh, my. We're not going to get to it, are we?
Why do you got to say elderly?
I am reading the article. It says elderly. Okay, elderly woman. Elderly woman. How's that?
Well, you know he is a grandfather now, so you got to be
careful.
He is a grandfather?
He's taking.
How
this.
About not a grandmother? Okay. Just a grandmother. I mean, what's this elder? You got rid of the grandmother part and kept the elderly part.
She looks elderly. She
I have
looks
you know
elderly.
The baby boomers are bigger than any group around, and we'll take you down.
Oh, yeah. We see.
Oh, big. Yeah. It depends.
Oh, we'll ask Pat about the depends. But
okay. How's things going?
All right, Grandpa. Let's go.
Oh! elderly Grandpa to you.
Spy, I understand.
Hey,
I know.
That's a little old, right?
So you were talking about your grandmother.
Yes. She walks in.
She did?
Picks up drumsticks.
Look at the script.
And starts.
Picked up something. You look down. It's like,
and starts.
What did she pick up? She picked up a script. She picked up her drumsticks. Okay, go ahead.
I just lost my thought. I don't know where we are. No.
We are. Where are we, Pat?
I think we're in the studio. But I'm not sure anymore.
Right. Somebody go out and look outside and see where we're at. All right.
Well, you got to see this video. We're going to make it available for you on the
torch.
Video? There is a video. She is.
Why didn't you say so? Are you talking about an elderly grandmother or something?
We're going to have this available for you on the torch. And you got to listen to this. This is her walking in, playing. This is in Wisconsin.
Oh, my goodness.
Tearing it up now. Check it out. Get started. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. One hand. One hand twirl. Uh-oh. One hand. Oh, other hand. There you go. Hey. Is this not amazing?
Oh, wow. Got that Eddie Van Halen thing going
on. Oh, man.
Adam has met his match.
That's it. All you drummers who think you can drum, you gotta watch this.
Well, look at her walker right there beside the drum.
Oh. Well, I just wanted to give you inspiration for the day. I mean, is that not amazing?
She's good.
Totally.
She is
totally
very amazing. Good. Very.
Can you imagine? We're going to Grandma's house. We're going to jam today.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You call her maybe Nana, Mima. I met someone yesterday. They told me that their grandmother's name was Yaya. That's it. How you say in Greece or Greek? Yaya.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it?
That's what they told me.
Okay. Depends.
Oh, depends. Can you tell us?
Depends.
Oh, is there a cricket button somewhere over there?
Well, you know, I don't know what's happened to grandmother. You know, what happened to, you know, grandmother?
This is...
Ya, ya, nee, nee, na, na, ma, ma.
I don't know.
It's like
we're kind of
reverting back to childhood.
I don't know. There's so many different names now.
Yeah, it really is. But her, I guess her name would be...
We don't have a name for her. Nobody knows.
She needs a name.
I don't know.
She needs a name. Depends. The Depends drummer.
All right. Oh, my goodness.
She was tearing it up.
Yes, she was.
Adam has met his match.
Adam, I have
you know, you need to submit a video of you, see if you can save yourself in this. But she was tearing it up. Mm-hmm. Did you hear, speaking of Kirk Cameron... Did you hear that? I mean,
we have 10,000
filter systems trying to prevent all kinds of things from coming our way, and they still make them to us. And this man can't even put a video up of his movie coming up, and they actually banned him.
Yes.
It's reported that Amber told me that they had banned, you know, she read something on Facebook that banned him some time back, a couple weeks ago. For his movie trailer, and I'm thinking, that's just some stuff you read on Facebook. CBN is reporting, and he's saying they have actually banned him. And he's got a piece of tape over his mouth. You know, it says Facebook across his mouth right there. But you got to, I mean, it's amazing to hear that you would ban something so basic.
It's his testimony. It's like his journey. Yeah. Basic.
Serious?
And 200, he did a campaign letting everybody know what was going on. They also pulled him off of YouTube as well.
What?
Yes. It was just like, so he did a campaign. And then 250,000 people responded and said, what is up with that? So mysteriously, they allowed him back on both. I guess Facebook and YouTube let them back on, but very, very interesting.
And so you're going to be able to go to the VFN Torch, but I want you to hear the trailer for his movie. The trailer for his movie, it's going to be one night only, and I got a chance to go to the last one he did.
Monumental,
where he did it live from his living room with his family there, and they played worship music and all that. And he's going to do this the same way. It's going to be one night, September 24th, but listen up.
Why does God let bad things happen to good people? If God is good and he is a God of love and he is powerful enough to stop evil and pain and suffering, why doesn't he? That is the question that wrecks people's faith. What do you do when the unexpected tragedy hits and your whole world comes crashing down? I went on a journey to examine my faith, to be honest and face my questions and my doubts. This is the most personal project I have ever made regarding my faith.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for.
I want you to come on this journey with me to discover the answer to this age-old question. If God is good, why is there so much suffering? Why all the pain? Why does he allow evil in a world when he could stop it?
Oh, but here I come. All your monsters are better run from me. You can't buy my silence.
I came out the other end of this meat grinder with my faith stronger than ever before. Join me on September 24th for a one-night-only live event broadcast from Liberty University in theaters all across this nation, because I want to settle once and for all that life is stronger than death, good is stronger than evil, and faith is stronger than doubt.
There's a time to speak, and the time is now. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet. I'm gonna break, gonna break.
Unstoppable, September 24th at a theater near you.
What a sound.
That's awesome.
Is that beautiful?
Yeah, I love that.
It's like, why would you be in that?
Well, he proved it's unstoppable. He's back on.
It's unstoppable. As a matter of fact, you can go to VFN Torch and go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, or go to our Facebook at Facebook.com/VFNTV, and you'll see it there where you can connect to his Facebook and like it and share it. And it's his testimony.
Yes, his testimony, his own personal journey. And he just kind of goes all the way back and kind of a documentary type, but not really. Kind of like we did with the first movie he did, Monumental.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's going to be really fantastic. I mean, if it's anything like Monumental, it's going to be very, very good.
Wow.
You know, for some reason, he's getting older and we're not.
I don't know. I thought he looked pretty good.
That's, well, yeah. He's got that rugged thing going on.
Oh, yeah. But don't forget. He's been around for a long time. Everybody has those young images of him, but he was a child actor on the television show Growing Pains.
I guess it was what throws us off. He just never got any bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Unlike us, we got bigger.
Oh, yeah. Well, not Pat.
Well, he did get bigger, but he got smaller.
Oh.
I had to stop. It wasn't working.
We'll move on from there. All depends.
All depends.
All totally depends. Mm. You know, I started talking about yesterday, and if you missed yesterday, you got to catch it. There's some very encouraging. We're going to begin a conversation, and we're going to just soak in amongst the mercy and the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the truth of God, which we try to stay in, is also the truth of faith, you know, and we want to build your faith up. We want to give you a grid that you can begin to have faith in God. And I want to encourage you, too, that if you have not yet gone to VFNTV.com and watched on VFNTV or on your app, The Cross of Christ, The Dependency Factor, you need to do that, because as you're progressing through faith, and quite often, I remember when Dick Rubin went to a particular faith movement and a powerful movement of God, you know, Christians that were just really focused on honing their faith, that God had them rebuke them and said, you got faith in faith.
Mm-hmm.
You got faith in faith, and you need to get faith in God. Mm-hmm. And you can have a tendency, once you find out how, and people have it, I mean, it's amazing. Human nature is, once you figure out how to do it, you forget the one who taught you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man has a tendency to leave God behind. Has a tendency to do that. And the power of faith. I mean, you think about it, even Eli wanted to buy it. You know, when Paul was had his ministry going on, and you have other people I've seen when God begins to manifest his power in a specific way, that it's a whoredom spirit. I mean, it's just like this lust. And it's like you're thinking they're wanting God, but really, some people, some people, not all people, the majority are running after God because these are signs, but they're really having a whoring spirit after the power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like, it's the same thing. Man wants to rule. They want, yeah. they want the big whatever to rule over people. And so when you begin to move in faith, I want to encourage you to remember it's faith in God. You know, Jesus, we talked about yesterday, Jesus said, have faith in God. And in the context of that, with God, with Jesus as your shepherd, our shepherd, and the cross of Christ and our dependency factor on his finished work on the cross, we're focused on walking out his predestined plan for us that he chose us before the foundation of the earth. We're not grabbing it, the ability to create and going into the world. I mean, look, you can see people in the world who don't even know God, who began to tap into how they were created and have began to create, you know, and speak things into existence, give the, oh, you said the speeches that we talked about yesterday, and they get a following and they get caught up in the fact of like, since it's coming together, it must be God. And it's like, well, that's what they said at the Tower of Babel, but that's not true.
Right.
Because at the Tower of Babel, remember that they were all together, one vision, one heart, one mind, and they said, you know, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it happened for them. They were going to build a tower to heaven. And of course, in our mindsets today, because of our pride, we would say, well, how could they build a tower to heaven? I mean, they didn't have cranes, right?
Yeah. Right?
As if our cranes can reach heaven.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
As if our planes can reach heaven.
Mm.
You know, just, oh, Lord, forgive us. And so, but then you go back and you look at the pyramids and you look at things and it's like, we don't know everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But either way, this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God said. He said that after getting the report of what's going on down there, he says, listen, we're going to go down there. We're going to need to break this up because they're in agreement, because they're walking under one vision, because they, and I'm putting into my words, because they've tapped into how I created them.
Mm.
They're going to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he do? He came and changed the languages. And if you can't communicate, and this is what I'm telling you, one of the big things, you know, this promulgated by a couple that are no longer married anymore.
Mm.
And it's been infiltrated into the church is, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus.
Yeah.
And people just buy into the fact that men and women can't communicate. And the truth is, that's not true. You know, men can communicate with women. Women can communicate with men. Because if you can't communicate, it'll be like the Tower of Babel and your marriage is going to be destroyed. If you buy into the fact that I'm just not going to talk to him, I'm just not going to talk to her, it's going to be like the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
Because God came and confused their languages so that they could not walk in agreement. Mm-hmm. And when they couldn't walk in agreement, then it was no longer possible for them. And not only that, they quit hanging out together. They quit hanging out together. They began to migrate and go around. At that time, it pretty much probably was just one piece of landmass that had not yet broken up and pondered its way across the ocean.
Right.
A few theories. But if you don't believe that, stay in California for a while. I think it's about the wonder.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And but that's how powerful, you know, faith is and agreement is and having a clear vision is that even when you have it wrong, even if it's not of God, even if it's a tower to heaven, even if it's the Trump Tower, even if it's the Taj Mahal or the Iron Curtain, or if it's wanting to rule the world, you know, if it's wanting to be a George Soros and crash down nations, economies, you know, whatever it is, or if it's for a third great awakening and believe, you know, say it just comes to pass. It's how powerful it is. We're going to talk more about this after the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can religious media be promoted on a national level? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been listening to Christian radio for so many years, and there's so much good information out there. I'm wondering how come somebody doesn't start a newspaper that doesn't necessarily slant towards Christian, but tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
There has actually been, and over the past, they have had national Christian newspapers, but it's been a while. I mean, you haven't seen those in a number of years. But, you know, you got the major newspaper change now, and I think it's probably more of an economic issue than anything else. Although you do have now with the websites, and I need to say this, there's great web resources available. There's some really good sites to go to, so while we don't have a Christian newspaper per se, there are an awful lot of good websites that have current events and news from a perspective that we would find interesting and important and correct posted online. So a lot of great resources there.
Sign up for email alerts, find key resources, and read Jay's trial notebook on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
And we're just talking about what God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. is there something? And we prayed for a long time. You know, we prayed for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap and barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And yeah. He did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sure that. Did. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, yeah. I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're just talking about faith and talking about how specific it is for how God created us. Mm-hmm. And I do want to say, you know, joining me is Pat and John today and on the program. And John's going to be sharing in just a moment about faith, but I want to kind of linger a little bit in this reality. This is how powerful, how we've been created in the image and the likeness of God, which means that if he's a creator, big C creator,
right,
then if we're creating his image and likeness, then we're our creator, but little c.
Mm-hmm.
But we can only create in the confines of his, within his will, as his sons and daughters of God. Right. But there's people who are not, have not given their life to God, and they just go wild with what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, they're going to create wealth. They're going to create islands with their name on it, and industry, and kingdoms. They're going to create kingdoms. And with that,
they do it.
Yeah, they do that. And it's amazing to me the tendency of folks to automatically put people on a pedestal who use their creative gift, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, good or bad, versus having an awestruck factor with the creator who created us, that it's because, like he talks about Romans chapter 1, that we acknowledge God. He's the one that created us in his image and his likeness, and we have that authority. And he says, listen, I want you to go take dominion, and I want you to rule over the things on the earth, that, you know, not man, but over, you know, the animals and the birds and the earth. And with that, you know, we can speak things into existence. And people say, well, that's not true. There are so many people trying to get over what their great-granddaddy said to them, you know, and they're struggling with a sentence that was given them. And it created inside of them something that they just can't shake. And they spend their whole life talking about what their great-granddaddy said about them. Right. And you know the reason why? Because he created something over you when he said that. He spoke a curse over you. He released something in your life, which you now can begin to defeat that in God, and you can begin to speak something differently over your life and believe something differently. And all of a sudden, you're set free.
Mm-hmm.
You're set free when you begin to follow the ways of God and speak what God says about you over you and no longer believe. That's the power to create, the power to bind and to loose in Jesus' name. And so he went there, Dick Rubin went there to be able to, it wasn't what he was planning on doing, but he ended up having to rebuke a large faith movement for having faith in faith and not faith in God. So as we're moving in this journey, realize, you know, lay everything down, every talent, everything we do, you know, is not for our being, but it's for the advancement of the kingdom. It's for the Lamb who is worthy. It's for Jesus. And if it don't fit that category, you know, you really need to ponder it. Are you living your life for yourself, or have you denied yourself, picked up your cross, and followed the Lord? It doesn't mean you're perfect or anything. And it's okay to take care of, you know, and God wants you to be taken care of. But what about the other 95% of your life?
Right.
You know, what are you creating during that time? And some people say, you know, well, I've already created my wealth. I've already created my stuff and my things. I'm not going to create. I'm just going to spend the rest of my 95% just enjoying that and kicking back and doing nothing.
Right.
And so, so I just want to just put an alert out for all of us to just remember that, this is a powerful revelation, and we're going to have to get the fullness, the full measure of Christ, and this is part of the full measure of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we have to humble ourselves and say, Lord, how do you want me to, quote, invest this gift, this talent, this creativity in my life? Because remember, the master gives certain talents away, but then he comes back and says, how did you invest them?
Great gift means great responsibility.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And everybody's been given a measure of faith. And it's not that you're doing what everybody else is doing, but what are you doing with the measure that you have been given?
That's right. You know, I was abiding in Mark chapter 2, and I saw where Jesus was ministering in a house, and so packed. I mean, the people were standing outside the house. I mean, Jesus was obviously extremely popular, and people gathered everywhere. Well, there was this man who was he was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get in, but knew that Jesus was there, and Jesus was preaching and healing the people that were sick. And so his friends, I'm paraphrasing, his friends take him on over there in a stretcher. They carry him out there. And because there wasn't any room to get in, people are standing outside the door, they decide to lower him through the roof. I mean, you can imagine these guys crawling and climbing up this house.
Right.
Tearing up the roof. I wonder whose house that was, but they're tearing up the roof.
Yeah, right.
And they lower this man. I don't know, maybe right before Jesus. I mean, and Jesus looks up and is just watching this thing unfold. And the Word of God says that when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The thing about faith is that faith is displayed. You can actually see faith.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes people say, "Well, I have faith." Well, so, okay.
Where is it?
Where can we see it?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see faith, and if it's not displayed, you got to come to the point that there's really no faith at all. You know, and the Word of God says in James 2:17 that in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, it is dead. And it's really the action that proves that we actually have faith. And the word faith means complete confidence and trust in a person or a remedy. In this case, we're talking about faith in God. We're not talking about, as we mentioned earlier, faith in faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's faith in God, because people have misplaced faith, misplaced confidence. I'm amazed at how much faith people put in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they have faith in jobs, they have faith in people, they have faith in their ability and their resources.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about having faith in God, and that's trusting in God's word. It's being fully persuaded of God's ways, his character and his integrity, and his proven faithfulness.
Right.
That's what we're saying. We're having faith in God, and we accept God at his word. You know, and you see so much unfaithfulness today. You know, who are we to say that we can't have faith in God? When we're saying we're not having faith in God, what we're saying is, God, I can't trust you.
Right.
We're questioning his integrity.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the truth is that the greatest thing that the enemy tries to do is mm-hmm. to shake us in our faith. And he does that by trying to get us to doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And really, doubt is a powerful thing, because it really waters you down. It causes you to be unsure.
Mm-hmm.
It causes you to be uncertain, unstable. It causes you to lack confidence and be skeptical. And the truth is that our doubts are traitors. I mean, they cause us to be, you know, make us lose. This is what someone said. I'm read your quote. Says, our doubts are traitors and make us lose the good we might have won.
Hmm.
And it causes us to be really kind of wishy-washy and to be in a perpetual state of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do, totally uncertain? What can you do being wishy-washy?
Mm-hmm.
Someone would say loosey-goosey. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And having faith requires you to be very clear, very specific, very purposeful in the direction that you're going. And the
Which
whole
brings it very accountable.
Absolutely.
And that's where we personally struggle, is that if I start being specific, then I'll be held to specific expectations.
Mm.
So if I keep it ambivalent, I keep my job description down,
right,
they'll never know I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So being very specific, say, you know, we're going to have the next step out back. It's going to be on this day.
That's right.
It's going to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it puts everybody in a state of, oh, my goodness.
Right.
It's right. The accountability.
It's yeah. huge.
Right. And that's what faith does. Faith puts that accountability. When we start being that specific,
mm-hmm.
our whole life then becomes accountable.
Right.
To our profession of faith,
mm.
you know?
Yeah.
And so to not have that kind of intensity in one's life, they can just say they have faith.
Mm-hmm.
But right. you ask them, and they're not going to be specific. They're not going to be, there's no evidence.
There's no clear, there's no purposeful.
Yeah. Right.
And they're flown by the wind.
Right, right. And but the weakness of mankind is, well, if I say something very specific, then I'm going to have to believe God and begin to have the actions
right.
that follow that, and not to quit doing what I'm doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
When we were talking yesterday, you got to hone it out. You really have to get real specific. You got to write it out. You got to hone it out.
Yeah.
Get building plans, strategy, and you know, there's four steps. You missed yesterday. You got to listen to incubating the power of incubating faith. I mean, there's four phases that we talked about yesterday. It's so powerful. Because it just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? It
right.
just doesn't happen. And the question is, if a believer has faith, what are you believing in? Are you believing in God? You know, are you believing that God's going to be the one to bring it to pass? Or are you believing in the fact that you're going to bring it to pass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the truth is that all we can do, you know, God rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of faith. He's a rewarder of those that trust him. And we can begin to start speaking these things out. And once we start speaking them out, we can actually begin to start living them and walking them out.
All right.
But God doesn't respond to ambivalence.
Mm-mm.
You know, and if you're not specific, how will you know that you even got the thing that you're believing for when it shows up?
Right, exactly.
How will you know?
How would you even recognize it?
You wouldn't. That's just it. And if you think about everything that happens in the kingdom of God, I mean, your salvation comes by faith. Your healing comes by faith. It's such
a promise comes by faith.
Promise by faith. Everything that we do in the kingdom of God is all by faith. And that's why the enemy comes so strong to try to sow that seed of doubt, to cause you to have mistrust, misgivings, to have you to have any kind of reservations and apprehension, because it's all about stopping what God wants to use you to believe him for. When we're operating in faith, we're actually partnering with God, and he's partnering with us. And together, we can see the vision come to pass. We can see what God wants to do all across the world. But, you know, in order to do that, you know, God created us in his image. You know, God's the Trinity, the triune being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, man is a triune being. He has a body that helps him relate to the earth. He has a soul that he has a mind to think. He has emotions. He has the ability to a will, a choice, a desire. And he also has a spirit. And his spirit is what allows him to communicate with God, to have communion with him. And so oftentimes what happens when we're trying to walk in faith is that we're trying to bring something to pass in a logical mindset using our mind, instead of believing God, you know, in our spirit and in our heart for what he wants to do. Listen, God's not out of, I love what it was David Hogan said, God's not out of his mind, he's out of your mind. That's exactly what he wants you to be, because if you're analytical and you're trying to put rulers all over God, it's not going to happen. You're trying to measure what God's going to do, it's not going to come to pass. God exists outside of our logic, outside of our mind, outside of our reasoning, and he lives totally in a totally different dimension. He lives, it's the spiritual realm, and it requires us to let go of logic and just believe God for what he said he's going to do, for what he said in his word, and for looking over the faithfulness that God has had, you know, in our lives through so many years. When we're saying that we don't trust God, what we're saying is, Lord, you don't have integrity. We can't trust in your faithfulness. We can't trust in your word. And that's so not true. We can absolutely trust him.
Yeah, that's it. And the testing of your faith, that bombardment that comes. Listen, if you don't, it says, this is what the word of God says. It says, you know, without vision, a people perish. The NIV says it this way: without vision, people are without restraint.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of the benefits of walking in faith, which means going through, if just like John was talking about, you need to go back and see the article on the VFN Torch, the incubating faith, is I hope that there's a link to this one as well at the bottom, but it says that people without vision cast off restraint.
Mm.
And if you're having, and listen, we all have issues, and I'll be talking about that with the wisdom moment in the extra hour today. But the whole thing is that there'll be a lot less of that in your life with vision.
Right.
Because it helps you make decisions. It helps you say yes to some things, no to others, and it helps you realize why you got to leave your life of sin, why you need mm-hmm. to, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for living. When people have, you know, a feeling of hopelessness and a feeling of, you know, why am I even here? That's a person without a vision, without a purpose. And that's what's so important in being specific and the substance of things hoped for. You can see someone who walks in faith. You can just see it.
Right.
You can feel it too. It's so tangible. It's a tangible thing. We'll be right back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
come follow me. Come follow me. That's what Jesus said. He said, come follow me. What does that mean? It means to be a disciple. It means to follow him. Listen to Francis Chan as he talks about the reality of today's church, and we have to begin to change ourselves and begin to follow him. I'll tell you more about it after Francis. Listen up.
You know, it's just so strange to me what we do in church sometimes with the commands of God. When you're a kid, remember playing Simon Says, you know, or Follow the Leader. Remember Follow the Leader? Some of you that are younger never played it because you can't get the app on your iPhone. But it was something physical. We used to go out and play, you know. We used to move. And you remember Follow the Leader, you know. Leader jumps, you jump, you know. Or Simon says, pat your head, and you pat your head. It's so weird how in the church we change everything. In the church, you know, follow Jesus has become a different game where in following Jesus, you don't actually have to do what he does. You just have to study it. Jesus says is completely different from Simon Says. If Jesus says something, you just have to memorize it or study it. What about making disciples? What about actually becoming like Jesus? Man, I've got four kids, and if I asked one of my kids, if I told my oldest daughter, hey, Rachel, go clean your room. And what if she comes back to me, you know, an hour later and goes, Dad, I memorized what you said. I can quote it verbatim. In fact, I can say it in the Greek now. She knows I'm not going to go, oh, that's awesome, baby. Or if she says, Dad, I had a bunch of friends over and we did a little study on what it would look like if we cleaned my room. Here's all the notes. It's going to be a 5-week study. You guys, she knows that doesn't fly with me. You guys, why were these commands given? Was it for us to memorize and study and on and on and on and just study them to death? And then at the end of our lives, we're going to go, God's going to say, wait, I asked you to make disciples. I asked you to baptize. How many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you teach to obey everything? Because that's what I asked you to do while you were on that earth.
Just think about it. You think about it. Although it's kind of funny, it's kind of true, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 7:22-23, he said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then he'll say, and he'll tell them plainly. He says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, we have to know him. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to abide with him. Apart from abiding him, it's impossible to do what's required of us and expected of us. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like it. Listen, we have a plan for you, a simple abiding plan. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your free plan today. That's at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We've just been talking about faith. Of course, joining me is Pat and John, and that's so important, John, what you're talking about. And just, you know, continue listening in. Continue listening to VFN Radio, and realize we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you miss it, you can turn it on anytime, live off your app or on all the different devices that are out there and listen. And you also can go to the VFN Torch and listen to the highlight, the segments of them, and you can download them from podcast. It's coming off of Facebook. It's there for all of our Facebook fans all around the world. And I just want to say again to all those that are connecting with us from around the world in our Facebook community that God is just really speaking to me about you. And pray for us. You know, pray for us that we hear from God about this next season and what and how we're to respond. But I know that God is just really showing me the love he has for you, and his desire to encourage you and to inspire you, but also to win your family to him and friends to him, and just continue to pray for us. And I believe that, you know, God's doing something. God is doing something there. But I just want to give you a shout out from all the continents of the world. We stand in awe of what God is doing, and we hope that you will be encouraged. Well, you know, a new prince has been born.
That's right.
Prince William and Princess Kate just had their baby last night around 4 p.m. Central or Eastern time, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. And they're just calling him the Prince of Cambridge right now because they don't have a name for him, last they reported. And it was really cool because, you know, in America, we've totally... Well, recently we really left it. Now, we do have some honor in some pockets of America, but the monarchy and the honor, and this is, people say, well, that's, you know, kings and queens and princes. What's up with that? Hello, that's the government that God set up. Jesus is a king.
That's right.
He set King David in place, and he came from the lineage of a king. King David, and he is a king. And so they have this official way that I was watching them report on, you know, waiting for the baby to be born. And it seems to be no empathy with the pain that the poor mother's going through right now. No. It's just right. Like, you imagine going through all that and somebody peeking in the window trying to take a picture. Close that curtain.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so... as soon as he was born, I think they waited about 4 hours before they were telling anybody. And the people were saying, I can't believe they waited. It's like, anyway, so all these people are gathered outside. They're waiting, and reporters from all around the world, and people are just, just pumped, you know, pumped in a British way. It's real unique how they express themselves. And, that's my peeps. Anyway,
peeps.
So
they disowned you, you know.
Yeah, I know it. They really, yeah. You're tearing up the English language, son. Anyway, so they're hanging outside the door. So finally, they come outside and they have the yeoman or whatever come out and announce out loud and just shout out loud, you know, how that the Prince of Cambridge has been born, which is the third in line for the throne. And then they come out and put an easel, the same golden eagle easel out, whatever it was, 31 years ago that Prince William's announcement was put on, the letter from the doctor and them saying that it's official, he's born, he's in good health. And everybody's just so excited. They're just so excited. They're like, oh, this is so great. This is the best thing. This hasn't happened. And they're talking and talking and talking about this exuberance, and it's pretty cool. It's a young couple. They did what was right. They got married. He's taken the responsibility, it looks like, going in the way of the second after his dad, William. And here we are now. But then you think, that's how it always was. You see, when a child was born to a king and a son was born to a king, and I know that today's society is changing everything, but when a son was born to a king, everybody knew that that was the next one in line. They knew that this young child would be king over us. And in the moment the child was born, historically, and it seems even now, this honor was due this child. This major announcement was given, and the whole world is stirred because a king is born. And if you push that off by pomp and circumstances, you're missing what God is saying and what he established, because there was a day that a man and a woman did what was right before the Lord. her name was Mary. And her husband's name was Joseph. And she was one day as a young teenage girl overshadowed by God's Spirit. And God's Spirit and Mary, all man, all woman, came together at that one moment and implanted in her womb a seed of a king. Of a king. Nobody really knew about it other than Mary and a few others, and all of heaven knew. And Satan was trying to find out, couldn't get to him. And all this happened because the enemy knew that one day this child that was born was going to be a king. And so they had to protect him. You know, they have security today around Prince William's son because people want to do harm to him. Well, God had angels around his son because King Herod and everybody, they knew that one day he would be king. And so God began to speak to them, give them strategies how to keep this king alive. But you know what? There was an announcement. All of heaven began to just proclaim that a king is born. Even shepherds were excited about it because angels appeared and says, "For unto you today," right? A child is born. And somebody says, "Just a child?" No, he's a king. He's in the lineage of a king. He's in the lineage of David. He's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to be over all, and all's going to be under him. People say, "Well, he's just a child." But see, the reason why they're focusing on the Prince of Cambridge today, because they understand what we've totally forgotten, the fact that monarchies in regards to kings, that he's going to be kings in the lineage of a king. But the difference is with this King Jesus is he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And an announcement was made. How do you honor him? How do you honor this announcement? How do you proclaim? How do you ooh and awe over this awesome reality of a king is born? Learn from what's taking place right now in England. Learn what's taking place. Begin to just soak on honor. Soak on respect. Soak on why would three magi come all the way across whatever following stars, dodging a king who's trying to bring destruction to this king, to offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh because to a baby, because the baby is a king. He's a king. And the announcement put up on the easel, imagine, I was like, this is all of heaven proclaiming. It's just like a symbol of like us remembering that all of heaven proclaimed that for unto us a king was born, whose government, his government will be on his shoulders forever. Not just, you know, England's government, the kings and parliament or whatever. The government of mankind, of all creation, everything's going to be put at his feet. And God just began to stir my heart. He began to stir my heart in saying, oh, we've had a king that was born. I encourage you, watch the hoopla, watch the honor. Watch the pomp and circumstance. Watch everything that's taking place and begin to say, God, help me to be a man and a woman of honor. Help me to give honor where honor is due. Help me to somehow, in this earthly sense of a prince, a king, a princess, earthly governments, help us somehow look up and realize that you were born a child, but you were born King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that the title deed to earth, all of earth, is going to be given to you by the Creator, the Father, and every knee, every king that ever was on this earth is going to bow before you because you are King.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com. or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Facebook page.
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you too to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFNTV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
Me too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for though, there's an app for the VFN TV Daily Radio Program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the Daily Live Radio content. You've got all the radio feeds. Everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out, VFNTV.com.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him, meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.